Blog Talk Radio.
This is Monica Liel welcoming you to the LL Research radio program In the Now with Carla L. Ruckert and Jim McCarty. Today is Friday, March 8th, 2013. Carla L. Ruckert is an author, mystic, seeker, and primary channel for LL Research. Jim McCarty is Carla's husband, the scribe for the Raw Contact, and president of LL Research. Please visit the websites llresearch.org, home to over 1,500 channeling transcripts, 11 publications, The Law of One material, interviews, speeches, and more, and the community website bringforth.org. That's bring, the number 4, th.org, featuring forums, blogs, chat rooms, and more. I'll be asking Carla and Jim questions that come from you. If you would like to ask a question live on the air, please call 646-595-2294 and press the 1 key when prompted. Again, that number is 646-595-2294. Or you can join the chat room at blogtalkradio.com/LLResearch. When submitting questions, please remember this is a Law of One Q&A. Try to keep your questions as spiritually oriented as possible. Again, I'm Monica Liel, and I'm talking with Carla L. Ruckert and Jim McCarty of LL Research. Hi, Carla and Jim. How are you doing today?
Doing well.
We're doing pretty well. How are you?
Doing good. I was just telling you guys right before we got on that I reconnected with a very dear old friend yesterday that I hadn't talked to in a while. I've known her for 30 years, and we talked for 3 hours catching up.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah. And she also is a lot like you in some ways, Carla, very, very dear friend and mystic, a channel and a spiritual seeker and teacher as well. But I just wanted to give a little quick plug here for any spiritual seekers and Elvis Presley fans out there. And you don't have to be an Elvis Presley fan, but she just recently got her book published that's been 29 years in the making, and it's called Blue Star Love, and it's about the spiritual life of Elvis Presley, that he was in fact a wanderer, and it's not channeled. It's all based on real letters and notes and real conversations about his spiritual life. So I highly recommend it. She's a really good writer, writes very beautifully, and it's good stuff. So, but you know how you told me that it'd be better to buy the Law of One books or any books that you want to buy from LL Research directly rather than Amazon.com, because they don't pay you very much. And she said the same thing. So I want to direct anybody that might be interested to bookstore.balboapress.com, and that's bookstore.balboapress.com. Or you can go to bringforth.org and go to the corkboard section in Bring Forth Forums 2, and there's a link there. Just look for the thread called Elvis Presley Wanderer. Bringforth.org, the corkboard section. Okay, that's my little plug for today. So tell me about how you guys are doing.
Well, at first I just wanted to say about Elvis Presley that I'm not at all surprised that she found all kinds of things in his letters and so forth, because I read a book. Jim, you loaned it to me. What was it called?
If I Could Dream, written by his hairdresser.
Yeah, and he also went on quite a bit about how in his private life, Elvis was a desperate, sometimes desperately serious spiritual seeker, and was just looking and looking and looking. And I'm so glad that this has come out. I'm a fan of his from long ago, not because of the gyrations. That put me off, but I started to Well, you know, I was a kid when he did that, and it wasn't my style. You know, to me, that was pretty greasy and all those words that indicated that it just wasn't, you know, a safe person to know. You know, it's just kind of dangerous, and you stayed away from people like that. But I started to listen to him in college because his voice is so beautiful. And if you listen to him, especially if he's singing a ballad and, you know, he's able to really get into a song, it's just gorgeous. And I really appreciate his singing, but more than that, I appreciate him as a person. So I'm really glad that I get to read another book. Jim will have to get it.
Yeah, well, apparently he had over 1,000 books of metaphysical nature in his library, and when he died, he was reading one of them.
Ah, you know, Maya said, oh, by the way, the author is Maya Nartumid, N as in Nancy, A-R, T as in Tom, O-O-M-I-D, Maya Nartumid, and the name of the book is Blue Star Love. Yeah, she said the same thing, that he had a vast metaphysical library, but unfortunately, I think she said something about his dad burned a big pile of them because, you know, he thought they were satanic or something.
Yeah,
that's
he
a tragedy.
He came from a very, very narrow Christian belief that was very, very dogmatic and, you know, would believe that anything like that was of the devil, you know, because it wasn't exactly like what he believed. Poor old Elvis was just trying to get out of the box, man. You know, let me out, you know.
Yeah,
I mean,
absolutely.
You love your parents above and beyond any kind of belief system, but it must have been on his heart that his dad, at least, was so lacking in understanding. Oh, well.
Yeah. Okay. Did you have any other announcements, or should I go ahead and go on to the risk?
Well, the only announcement we have is that this is Gary's first traveling for L&L Research. He's going to Taiwan and we'll speak in 4 different places about how L&L got started and so forth. And if you happen to be traveling to Taiwan, be sure and catch him.
Wow, he's on an adventure.
He's
that
very
sounds
excited.
Exciting.
I would have loved to have done it, but I don't have, you know, the chops to get on the airplane and go, and he does. So praise him and bless him on his way. I'm really glad that he's got this chance, and it's going to be great. I just know he's going to be great. But anyway, we might as well bless him on his way and get to today.
Absolutely.
Which I noticed, I think I missed what today was. I think I dated it tomorrow. I was so confused today. I thought it was Thursday all day. I'm going, wow, Monica's really early with her. You weren't early at all. It's a doggone good thing that you got it to me, or I wouldn't have. Oh, well, anyway.
That's all right. Okay.
Moving right along.
All right. This is from Raw, Session 16, Question 5. Questioner, is it possible for you to give a small description of the conditions in fourth density? I am Ra. We ask you to consider as we speak that there are no words for positively describing fourth density. We can only explain what is not and approximate what is. Beyond fourth density, our ability grows more limited still until we become without words. That which fourth density is not. It is not of words, unless chosen. It is not of heavy chemical vehicles for body complex activities. It is not of disharmony within self. It is not of disharmony within peoples. It is not within limits of possibility to cause disharmony in any way. Approximation of positive statements. It is a plane of a type of bipedal vehicle which is much denser and more full of life. It is a plane wherein one is aware of the thoughts of other selves. It is a plane where one is aware of the vibrations of other selves. It is a plane of compassion and understanding of the sorrows of third density. It is a plane striving towards wisdom or light. It is a plane wherein individual differences are pronounced, although automatically harmonized by group consensus. Questioner, then as we enter the fourth density, there will be a split, shall we say, and part of the individuals who go to the fourth density will go to planets or places where there is service to others, and the other part will go to places where there is service to self. Is this correct? I am Ra. This is correct.
Thank you, Monica. When I was 13, I had a wonderful experience. I had what people call a near-death experience. I would call it dying and coming back, but apparently that is not accurate, according to people that know a lot more than I do. It's not accurate, that is, in terminology. Anything that involves coming back can't possibly be a person dying, so they call it a near-death experience. So we'll go with that. I died. And I, without any change in any lapse of time, I was in another body, which was a good thing because the one I was in was very sick, obviously, or I wouldn't have died. I had no pain. This was incredible. I had been in such pain that I could feel the footsteps on the floor, and every footstep hurt when people came into the room. I couldn't wear clothes. I couldn't have a blanket over me. I just lay there in agony. My kidneys had failed, and that was 2 weeks in bed waiting for something to happen. Back then, they didn't have dialysis. They didn't have kidney transplants. They didn't even have medicine, at least in my hospital. They didn't know what to do, so they just put me on salt water, you know, that saline solution that they put you on when you can't drink or eat, and hoped that I would be okay. And I died. So all of a sudden, I was in a place where the colors were so incredible. They were so full of life. They seemed to be moving and glowing and rolling and they were alive. Each color, each facet that I saw was alive. It was like stepping out of a black and white movie and suddenly seeing full daylight. Only the black and white movie was this planet in full daylight, and the colors there were that much different. That's why you can't really approximate it. You can only approximate it. You can sort of talk about it, but you can't explain it. But I was there. I saw it. And I can testify to it. It is incredible. I heard the music of the spheres. I heard it was as if the Mormon Tabernacle Choir multiplied several times, plus the New York Philharmonic multiplied ditto, was playing and singing together Beethoven's ninth last movement. Da 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 dee 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 dee. But at a very pianissimo, tiny, soft, barely hear it level. And as it played, I could see music sparkling in the background. I could see it sparkle. And I looked around me trying to orient myself. Where was I? What was happening? And the first thing I saw was a fence, and a rambling rose was climbing on the fence. And I looked at the beautiful rambling rose. It was as articulated as a tea rose might have been, only it was huge and it was beautiful. And I told it how beautiful it was. And it told me that I was beautiful too, and it wrapped itself around my arm, which in this reality would have been very painful because rambling roses are full of thorns. Had no thorns, and it was talking to me. So when I got over that, I looked up, I looked around, and over the hill, over a rise, I was sort of like in a park. Over a rise, I could see the dome of a white marble temple. I knew that all my friends were there waiting for me. And as I walked towards that temple, all of a sudden, I heard a voice, and it sparkled in the air as the voice spoke, and it said, "Carla, we do not usually give people a second chance at an incarnation, but we have decided to give you a choice. You may either go back to the body that you just left and do the incarnation you came to do in that body, which will be difficult, or you could split what you chose to do into two different missions and have two lifetimes and have half of it in one lifetime, half of it in the other lifetime. It would be much more possible for you to finish your missions. And I thought about it for a half a second, and it was, the answer was obvious. I did not want any more childhoods. I was 13, and I had had a really hard childhood to my way of thinking, and it wasn't to be repeated if possible. So I said I would go back and do the best I could to get these things done, whatever they were, in the body that I had. As soon as I thought that, everything went away as quickly as it came, and I was back in my body, lying on the bed with people all looking down at me, trying to get my heart started again. And I spent about 6 months recuperating before I went back to school, but I did get better, and here I am. I'm 69 now, so you know I've kind of made it quite a ways through this life, and I think that I've probably finished one of my missions, and that was channeling the Law of One material. And now I'm trying to do the second mission, which I believe is living that material. And I don't know how I'm doing it, that I have no clue. And I just ask everybody to pray that I may live the beautiful principles that are in the Law of One. Back to fourth density. I believe that I saw fourth density that day. I believe that this incredible place is waiting for us all as we graduate, walk the steps of light, and move on to a far different experience than we have here. Can you imagine what it would be like to have all of your thoughts, including the ones that you don't even tell anybody, out there on the table, as much a part of you and as much known to other people as the best thought you ever had? Can you imagine knowing the same about any other person, much less knowing it about everyone? Can you imagine being able to see the vibrations of others as well as yourself? There's no fooling anybody in fourth density, because everything is out there. Wouldn't that not be the most incredible experience? It would be very difficult to adjust to, because we're so used to thinking one thing and doing another, thinking to ourselves, that is the most hideous hat I ever saw, and saying, oh, what a beautiful hat, Mrs. White. You know, or some, you know, less innocent thoughts and less innocent subjects. But I mean, we do that all the time, don't we? We think one thing, and we keep it behind our teeth, and we say what is necessary in order to grease the social wheels of our society, and we move along and we get along with people the best we can. And we certainly would not dream of sharing all of our thoughts with anyone. I have the most trouble imagining that very thing, that there is no secret, there is no such thing as a secret thought, no such thing as a secret self. Imagine being able to see if someone were in trouble and seeing where the problem was, so that even just in terms of, Jim, are you by chance doing something that would make the phone make a sound?
I don't think so.
You're not moving around or anything? Because
nope.
I'm getting some really weird sounds. Okay, okay, just... it distracted
me.
And I've had
yeah, I was on mute. So,
can you hear
I heard it? Yeah, I heard it too. Okay. Sounded like a chair creaking, maybe.
Is that what that was? Okay. All right. Back to imagine, if you will. Imagine that the vibrations of yourself are seen by you, and the vibrations of other selves are seen by you. And imagine that you have available to you the compassion that you reach for in this density and so often find that you lack. How incredible that would be to have that angelic level of compassion as part of you, as known by you as yourself. Oh, I think that alone would be worth the ride to fourth density. How beautiful. It is a plane of understanding of the sorrows of third density. It is a plane striving towards wisdom or light. And it is a plane wherein individual differences are pronounced, although automatically harmonized by group consensus. I've been in a group that tried to do everything by consensus, and the amount of discussion that it took to decide even the smallest detail was incredible. Imagine being able to live by consensus all the time, so that there weren't any hard feelings, there weren't any secret guilts or angers or whatever. I just think it's a wonderful place to be. I don't want to go there now. I want to finish my mission. And I think that I share a mission with all of you. It isn't just my special mission, although I think that I was given gifts of communication and teaching that would enable me to help people see their own capacities and their own mission. Whatever your outer mission is, whatever, however much of your life has been taken up with the outer mission, please know that there is an inner mission that calls you more than any outer mission. If I were to evaluate my usefulness within this incarnation, I would have to say I was most useful for being and holding the light, being in such a way that my vibrations would allow the light to flow through. We all came to lighten the consciousness of planet Earth. There's almost nobody that's a native to Earth. We all came from elsewhere. And we decided to come here, and we fought for the right to come here by seniority of vibration, the Ra group says. And we were warned, okay, you're going to forget who you are. You're going to forget what you came to do. And it's going to seem like a horrible, stinky, murky, muddy place. And we all said, oh, that's ridiculous. How could we possibly forget who we are? That's ridiculous. How could we possibly forget something that's so vital and so important and so obvious? It's obvious that we're all spirits. It's obvious that we're all children of the one creator. It's obvious that we're all one. It's obvious that the thing that binds us together is love, sweet love. Don't tell me that I'm going to forget that, because it's impossible to forget that. Well, of course, here we come, and we are incarnated into this place, and we get through school, and whatever schooling it is, or maybe we haven't gotten through school. I know I talk to a lot of younger people who haven't made it yet. They're still struggling with the schooling, but At some point, we all woke up to the extent that we realized that there's more to this than our teachers are telling us. There is more to this. And how do we find out about it? Well, you know, that's really hard because there's too much material. There's too much information, and a lot of it is disinformation. A lot of it will lead you nowhere. A lot of it's a waste of time. So what's for me? How do I figure out what's for me? Where do I go? Who can I trust? Not just what can I trust, but what author can I trust not to be jazzing me for a buck, you know, for the sale of the book. And you have to figure out for yourself who you can trust and what material is right for you and what's going to help you to walk the path that you are called to walk, you and no one else. So any recommendation that other people give you is going to be some helpful and some not. Who knows how much of each, but, you know, people are always saying, you've got to read this book, you've got to see this movie, you've got to hear this song. Well, that's great. But not all of it is going to be for you. Some of it is going to be great. Some of it is going to be, oh, my heavens, why did I even bother to waste my time on this? And then there's every shade in between. But somehow we develop discernment just, you know, as we go. And once we've learned to trust ourselves a little bit, hopefully that trust grows. And that's really what you need here, the last of third density in all of our last incarnation before we graduate and before we get to go to fourth. Trust yourself. Trust your discernment. And take yourself seriously. Because the most important thing that you'll ever do in this lifetime is hold the light, hold a space for the light to flow through. That's the center of what we all came to do in service. Yeah, I channel, and people have written me every day, you know, for the past 40 years to thank me for that. And I am so grateful for that. Thank you so much for giving me feedback. It just lifts me up and helps me so much. But I know that what doesn't show about me is still going to be the best thing I ever did when I look back on it. If I can just hold the light, hold a space for that to shine through me and out into the world. That lightens the consciousness for me. But in that I am part of this planet, it also lightens the consciousness for the whole planet. Just that little bit. But if we all do it just that little bit, the planet gets lighter and lighter and lighter. And our poor Earth, who is, you know, it made the final transition last December. It is in fourth density. But, you know, it's got a lot of static on the line because there are so many people here that are thinking about war, thinking about killing and suffering and vengefulness and all of those things. We are desperately needed for holding the light. And let's do that every day of our lives. Let's check in to ourselves and say, are we vibrating in such a way that the light can flow through? Because that's so important. I thought perhaps you all would like to think about fourth density a little bit. It's kind of confusing to people, and I've had several people who were absolutely furious because nothing happened, you know, that they could tell when the solstice, the winter solstice of 2012 rolled around. And they were just feeling cheated, you know. Why did all these people say that, you know, boom, we were all going to disappear and show up in a spaceship somewhere or, with the person that was saying it, of course, being the tour guide. And, you know, or, you know, we're going to be in another place or whatever the deal was. I was not one of those people. I never said that. What I said was that if it's not impossible to graduate, if you haven't had that first thought about polarity before the winter solstice of 2012, it's going to be so doggone difficult that it's almost impossible. But you all have had that first thought. You've easily had it before the end of 2012. You've made that first decision. I want to be service to others. That's my polarity. So just realize that because of the fact that the planet is now vibrating fourth density, we are getting fourth density light, and we have, to some extent, we may have fourth density activated bodies. You just have to get a DNA scientist and get a little blood and say, could you please look at my DNA and see how many of these are hooked up, you know, because usually it's like 8 and we need 12. And, you know, when you live as if you were in fourth density, you begin hooking them up willy-nilly. I mean, it just has to happen because you're living like that. So your DNA is changing. And there are some people, the younger people, the people under 30, say, who undoubtedly came back from graduating here, being in their very first incarnation in fourth density and thinking, well, what do I want to do for my first service? I want to go back to planet Earth and help. I want to save the planet. You know, I'm worried about this planet, this poor, you know, bespattered planet that's been beat on by all these people. And I would like to make the water cleaner and the air cleaner and just get things back. And a lot of people are there not so much for the people as much as for the planet. And I really appreciate all of that. But at any rate, to the extent that we do have any activated fourth density DNA, it's not so hard on us. But the problem, you see, is too much information. Fourth density vibrations are full of information, much fuller than third density. And you're getting all this information that you never wanted to know about your shadow side. And instead of going, oh, okay, thanks for the tip, I'll work hard on integrating that, you think, that's not me. I could never be me. I'm not a murderer. I'm not a, you know. Don't spend any time denying it. Just work on integrating it. That would be my advice as we close this opening riff. Just take it on the chin and say, okay, guess I'm going to have to work on my murderer side today. Take a look at what you really think. Take a look at what you really feel before you edit. And to the extent that it's not full of compassion, there's work. There's always work. So, you know, buckle down to it, and it's not so bad. And realize you're not in this alone. You've got people on this side of the veil to help you, friends, teachers, good books to read, good music to listen to, thank heavens for that. Good films to see, lots of things to lift us up. And you've got so many friends on the other side of the veil. So many friends. You've got your angels. You've got the Holy Spirit, whatever you want to call it, your higher self, your inner guide. There are lots of words for the same thing. You've got Jesus, or you've got the Buddha, or you've got whatever you want to call that energy of redemption or guruism or just living right. You have the Creator. Most of all, you have yourself. You are a child of the Creator. How wonderful is that? So I speak to you, creators, and hopefully I cheer you on. Lift up your lances, get on that horse, and let us go forward in the name of all that is good and true. Let us carry the light as we move through life. Let us be knights of the road, not just wanderers of it.
Thank you, Carla. Did you have anything to add to that, Jim?
Oh, one small thing. as beautiful as the fourth density is, and as much as we're looking forward to being there, I think we need to remember what value there is in the third density. Ross said that there was at least 100 times more catalyst and ability to grow in the third density than in any other density that follows it. So if you remember what Ross said about the third density, before there was a veil between the conscious and subconscious minds, those entities were not complex. They were mind-body spirits, and they were much like we see fourth density now. They saw themselves as being part of the Creator, everybody else being part of the Creator, and nobody more than another. However, they had no real reason to try to move forward in their evolution. So their choice of the positive over the negative polarity took a very, very long time. And the third density was very long then. The discovery that putting a veil between the conscious and subconscious minds would aid that process by speeding it up was a landmark, shall we say, in the evolution of all the creatures of third density. So we're in a good place here, too. We have a chance to really grow here.
Okay, very good. Thank you. Now I'm hearing noise. Just want to pass that. I don't know what that all that noise was. Okay, the next question, or the first question we have tonight, is the one with the quote from Secrets of the UFO. But Carla, you said you didn't find the quote. Is that right? Do you want me to still read that question?
Well, let's go ahead and get this question, because it doesn't matter. I'm sure that I can still respond to the question. Doesn't matter that I found it or I didn't.
Okay.
I mean,
all right.
You know, I've got the sense of it.
Yeah. Okay. This is from Jim Kent. Has a question regarding acceptance and polarization. In Secrets of the UFO, which is an LLResearch.org publication, you can find at LLResearch.org, the Confederation are quoted as saying, "This is one way of designated in your this is one way of designating in your own consciousness who is of Christ's force and who is of the anti-Christ force. You will see many who will cry out that there is no God, come and fight shoulder to shoulder with you for peace and love and brotherhood, equally for all men for all time. This is truly one who is of the Christ force. Yet you will see others who profess to be of God, speaking words of God, who say that some are to be saved and others to be damned. These, you will know, are not of the Christ light, for the Christ light speaks of brotherhood first and foremost, and will defend the right of all men everywhere to share equally with their brothers." End quote. Getting back to Jim's question, and in the raw material, they state that STO, service to others, entities are depolarized by not accepting that which has been offered. I'm having difficulty reconciling these two concepts. I am personally finding it difficult accepting all of the violence, greed, artificial concepts of separation and oppression levied by the few against oh so many. Can you speak of how one may reconcile this seeming dichotomy?
I can, but I'm going to make some noise for a minute. Hang on. Here I go. And I'm making noise. Okay, noise. I had to change the way I was sitting. All right. Yes, I can. Jim, and by the way, hello, Jim. I enjoy spending time with Jim when I was in the United Kingdom. When I was in Britain, he came and wanted me to put my voice on a piece of music that he was doing. I was reading some channeling, and he had been inspired to write a song about it, about fourth density, in fact. And it was about, you know, it's been a tough birth, but the baby is alive, talking about brand new baby of fourth density. Anyway, hey, Jim, it's good to have your question here. All right. You have to take things into context when you ask a question. And here's the context for Secrets of the UFO. The energies of those channelings were very much of the time. Excuse me. They were attempting more than anything else to encourage people to have creator-type vibrations. to share the love and light of the Creator. They weren't trying to access or be part of sixth density unity. They were trying to encourage people to make the choice between positive and negative polarity. So in the raw material, they state that STO entities are depolarized by not accepting that which has been offered. Now, I believe, although I did not look this up, that the context of when the raw material said this was they were talking about early fourth density and the heavenly battle between good and evil that has been written about in the Bible and is ongoing and will probably always be ongoing as long as this creation exists. Because in early fourth density, one has the great love and wanting to follow the ways of love and light and to defeat the darkness, not realizing yet that it's not necessary to defeat the darkness. There's no need to resist evil. So they were describing the conditions of war, this holy war. And they were saying that the service to others entities would fight, and then they would be depolarized by the fighting itself because they were not accepting that which had been offered. So then after a certain amount of time, they had to go and rest and gain their polarity back. So, you know, they were always needing new people to go and fight in the trenches, but then they always had new people because new people would come into fourth density and not have learned that lesson yet and so be more than willing to fight. And this was ongoing. So in the Law of One, Ra drops a bomb, and that bomb is that polarity, there comes a time in the creation of the Father when polarity will not any longer have meaning, when the negative and the positive will come together, and there will only be service to others. There's only, in truth, service to others at any time. When an entity decides to go along the path of the left-hand path or the path of negative polarity or STS, Ra has called it in several different places the path of that which is not, because it jumps right over the green ray, jumps right over the heart. It denies that there is such a thing as love, denies that there's any use in love, and it simply goes on will and strength, and uses the blue ray to communicate service to self ideas, and it gains the ability to use the light by will alone. But since the light is going to be used by anyone who can use it, then entities of negative polarity continue on the path of that which is not until they get to somewhere in the midst of sixth density, at which point they discover they can't get any further until they accept the fact that there is such a thing as love and that it is the redemption of the world. And they switch polarities and become the most devoted service to others people you could ever want, because they've tried the other until they've worn it out and they know it doesn't work. In third density, however, we are still dealing with the necessity of choosing. We're at the beginning of this walk of polarity. We walk through polarity in the use of service to others, learning love for loving others, or in the negative sense, learning love so you can love yourself better. And they are able to move into, a split fifth density where positive entities learn what it is to have wisdom in the love that they have for others, whereas negatively oriented fifth density entities learn what it is to have wisdom in the love you have for yourself. And they sail into sixth density, the density of unity, and only the positive polarity works. All of a sudden, the negative polarity grinds to a halt. So you can't reconcile in third density a fixed density concept. And it is excruciatingly hard even to try. It won't work. You can't think about it. And that's the whole problem, you see. You can't think about it. Eventually, the service to self entities will discover that you can't think about it. You can't make it work. You can't do it. And they will have to become converts to service to others. And it must be a strange thing to be in that situation and have all the power in the world, except you have not yet accepted love. And then when you accept love, imagine what an incredible thing to have your heart open after all those millions of years and, you know, thousands of lifetimes, all of a sudden to experience love for the first time. What a deal. So, Jim, don't feel badly because you're having problems accepting all the violence and greed and levied against the few by the Osho many, levied against the many by the Osho few, I should say. Don't try to reconcile it until you get to sixth density. And then, God willing, we will have what it takes to understand. Up until then, I think it's far better for us to focus on loving and being loved. Just that bit right there. Learning how to love. Learning how to accept other people's love of you with a completely open heart. And don't say, oh, no, you have it all wrong. No, I'm not worthy. Now, don't learn to say thank you. You know, that's the single hardest thing I've ever learned to do, is to allow people to love me, to allow people to give me things, to give me their time, to give me things, to give me their love. Most of all, to give me their love. It brings tears to my eyes. It shakes me to my soul that people I don't know could pray for me and, you know, care so much for me. But that's the way it is. That's what we need to do. We need to love, and we need to be loved. And we need to let that happen. And we need to encourage it. And we need to say thank you. So just try that part, Jim, and forget about reconciling things that are only going to make sense in sixth density. That would be my advice. Nikki, what do you have to say?
Before you get started, Jim, I just want to say we love you, Carla.
Oh, thank you.
Okay, Jim.
I don't have anything to add to that. I think she said it all.
Okay, then we have time for just one last question, and this is a follow-up from last week's question from Jeremy regarding channelings, and Jeremy said that I wasn't so interested necessarily in the channeling's authenticity, but was curious about the purity, not that they were not from higher density entities at all. And I've read most of the transcripts up to 1990 so far, the exception being 1977, right before the raw contact. Even though I deeply resonate with the group known as Hatan, for some reason the constant, we are above your planet or house as we speak, and there will be disaster upon disaster, a la apocalyptic talk, that precluded the raw contact was a bit unnerving. It was actually one of the main reasons I skipped the later 70s, as it was getting a bit, well, old to hear this doom and gloom information. I was wondering if you ever came to a conclusion as to why Hatan was so doom and gloom back in the 70s as opposed to their channelings post-raw. This is from Jeremy.
Okay, Jeremy. Hey, Jeremy. It's good to hear from you. I love you. Let's see. In the first place, I think that the channelings from trance and the channelings from conscious channeling are equally pure because of the fact that the purity is involved with the purity of the person that's doing the channeling rather than the source. So I think you can trust that they are equally pure, and when they contain an equal amount of purity. However, there are stylistic differences, and that gets back to what I was saying about Secrets of the UFO. When I first came on the scene, it was a matter of hearing it over and over again from Hatan. We are in a UFO high above your dwelling. You know, you may not be able to see us, but we're there. On what level that's true, I don't know. I don't know. Were they in a thought form high above our dwelling? You know, yeah, probably, absolutely. Were they in an actual UFO? No, they weren't. Even if they'd appeared in a UFO, it would have been a thought form UFO because they're positive, service to others oriented, and they decided that actually visiting physically among us was a no-no after a discussion with Eisenhower, according to the raw material. So, but in 77, if this was pre-raw, this was pre all that information, and it was a matter of style, I think, more than anything else, that I think there was a way that you opened the channeling and there was a way that you closed it, and it was always done that way. And it took a growing awareness, I think, on the part of it took channeling different entities to have the channel become aware that there is no need to go through all that stuff about we're high above your dwelling, that the reading didn't depend on that information and it was best left unsaid. And I think that that was a good thing. But it was not until the late 80s, I guess I might say the middle 80s, that I got sound and good enough that I was starting to get La Twi more than I got Hetzhan. I was getting a wisdom density entity more than I was getting a love vibration entity. And I was getting a far more complex channeling source and with far more to say, and none of it having to do with being high above the dwelling. So I think it was a matter of style, and I was glad, too, when they stopped saying that because it did get old. But the thing that never changed was that they always greeted us and said goodbye to us in the love and light of the one creator, and they always said Adonai. And if you say it another way, it's the Hebrew for Lord. I don't know how it's pronounced in Hebrew, Adonai. I'm not sure. Anyway, it's spelled the same, though. And so they're greeting us, hello and goodbye, sort of like aloha, in the name of the Creator. It's in the very word Adonai. That's, we leave you in the Creator, we greet you in the Creator. You know, it's a beautiful thought. And I really am glad that they always did that. And I think more than anything, that's a tuning mechanism. It keeps you on the beam to hear that information, and it's part of the establishment of that. So that's why I think that was kept, and that is kept, was kept by the Ra group and kept by conscious channeling alike.
Weren't you and Don training a lot of new channels then, and wasn't that kind of a way of making them feel familiar, that they kind of get started on something they were familiar with, a few introductory sentences, and then they could go off and begin channeling?
That's right. That's right. And so, you know, when they simply repeated, then I encourage that, because by the time they repeat that sentence, if they're getting the channeling at all, then that's enough to kind of steady them down and get them in the zone where they're able to get more. And it would enable them. And Jim, you had that training, and that was something that I told you. Did you find that helpful?
Yeah, it was it was reassuring to know that I could get started with something that was, shall we say, acceptable or known. And after getting those few sentences out, then, you know, step out into the unknown and actually begin channeling something that was not known, that would give me an indication that I really was channeling.
Yeah. That's what I thought. Okay, Jeremy, and as to the gloom and doom, all I can say about that is there has been catastrophe upon catastrophe. There has been disaster upon disaster, and there will continue to be. And what that is, and we've heard this many a time, is the planet letting the heat that our thoughts have pressed down into the energy of the planet very painfully, with empire after empire, war after war. We've pressed that suffering and that anger and all those negative thoughts down into the planet, and the planet is removing it a little bit at a time, not exploding, not having a planetary catastrophe, but having an earthquake here and a superstorm there and, you know, the event in Haiti that happened that was so awful and that people are still recovering from 3 years after it happened. And we'll look at what still hasn't healed in New Orleans from Katrina. I mean, it takes a long time for these really terrible catastrophes to be mended. And yet we think about them for a while and then we don't, because more things happen, you see, and they just slip off the back of the wagon. So I think you have to realize that they're just telling the truth. And maybe it is depressing, but that's the world we live in. And that's the world that we came to offer light to. And it's not our light. We don't own it. We're just living here so that we have the right to open ourselves to be conduits of that light and to let that light through, let that light expand into this very dense, dark atmosphere so that it gets a little bit lighter and a little bit lighter every time we remember, oh, right, that's what we're here for. So let's see, have I responded to everything? I think so. And I do sympathize with you skipping things. Come back in as the 80s continue on. I think you'll find that things got much better.
Okay, we are just about out of time. I just have a quick follow-up question. And anybody listening live, if we get cut off, in case we're still talking, you can definitely catch the rest of it in the archive because it continues to record. Okay, follow-up question. I was actually a little surprised because I always thought of it as trans-channeling was more accurate because the personality is kind of set aside, and I always thought of conscious channeling as having a little bit more distortion because the material would be colored by the channel's personality. But now that I think about it, you know, Edgar Casey's a prime example of someone who did trans channeling. He was said to have channeled the Akashic Records, and his material was clearly very flavored by his personality because he was a Christian and it was very, very Christian flavored. So yes. Do you think it doesn't really matter whether it's conscious or trans-channeling as far as how much of that little bit of distortion by it going through the filter of the channel can add a little bit of flavor?
No, I would say that it matters a great deal. If you want to get the straight stuff, go to a trans-channel. If you don't mind the flavor that's given to the information by the channel, if you like that particular channel, then you're in good hands with a good channel. But you're going to get that distortion. You're going to get that flavor. It's what they want with conscious channeling. They said that several times they want about 30% of the channeling to be our stories from personal experience because they don't have stories. They've just got the principles. You know, okay, illustrate that principle, if you will, you know, please. And so you have a certain amount of space that they hope that you will fill with your stories to make it more interesting. To have a find another way to tell that story, which is, as the Ra said, always and ever the same. So, yeah, if you like the way that the channel talks, if you like the feeling that channel's distortions give you in the channeling, then enjoy that channel. But know that there is a certain amount of distortion there, and it's coming from the fact that the channel's stories are mixed up with the principles, and it's not just the principles all by themselves. So, as I said, if you want the straight poop, stick with the raw material. If you really would rather be inspired more than informed, a lot of people feel that the Kuo channelings especially are more helpful to them, easier to read. You get into the energy right away, and there you are. And so it's just a matter of choice. It's a matter of who you are and how you like your coffee. You know, some people like it black. Some people like it with enough cream and sugar to float a boat. It's still
okay,
coffee.
So that is what I thought then. So now I'm a little confused because earlier, maybe I misunderstood. I'm trying to reconcile what you said earlier, that the purity would be the same with both. But there's
the
a flavor and a
same.
Distortion... So how, okay, I guess, can you define what you mean by purity? Because in my mind, I was translating purity to mean without that distortion and without that flavor.
No.
Okay.
No. That's not what purity means in the sense that the Ra always used it. When the Ra used purity, they were talking about the amount of time the instrument spent thinking of other people compared to the amount of time he or she spent thinking about her or himself. That would be the Ra's best meaning of purity. So purity has to do with how much the polarity of the message can be trusted. And you can trust a Kuel message just as much as you can trust a Ra message in terms of the purity of the polarity. The distortion comes in when you look at how much of it is strictly principles and how much of it is stories told by the channel. And in that, you have to subtract some percentage of a channeling that's conscious, because there will be additional distortion. And you're right. I think even a trance channeling has distortions in it, because they pretty much have to use the instrument they've got. The instrument they've got has got certain deep ingrained distortions that have been with them for a very long time. You're not going to get a channeling from me that doesn't involve the Ra. For instance, gave me my cross, gave me my altar, gave me incense, shaped things for my Christianity. Now, I happen to be a very broad thinker. It was not necessary for me to have dogmatic things, but it was necessary for the Ra to reckon with my Christianity, which they did. You know, so I don't know if you would call that, a lack of purity, if you call it distortion. But when the Ra talked about purity, Jim, correct me if I'm wrong, I believe that what they were talking about was the polarity, the purity of my polarity. And they just said at one point, I'm pretty sure I saw it today when I was looking through, that the reason that they felt that my purity was good was that I could be depended on always to be thinking of others more than myself.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay, excellent. Thank you for that clarification. And Jeremy, whenever you listen to this, and I know you will, was this Jeremy that asked that? Yeah, about that. If that's what, let us know what context you were referring to when you asked about the purity, because I'm wondering if he was referring to the context that Ra intended it, or in the sense of distortion. But either way, you explained it. So now I get it. I think it's all cleared up. So thanks. All right.
You bet.
Okay.
And thanks for that clarification.
Yeah.
I think that helped too.
Yeah. Okay. We are definitely out of time. So we, as of right now, since you don't have your surgery scheduled yet, we are still on for next week, correct?
We are. Right. That's correct.
Okay. All right. Thank you, Carla and Jim. And you have been listening to In the Now with Carla L. Record and Jim McCarty, and we're here every Friday evening at 8 p.m. Eastern. We will be here next Friday, March 15th. Please check out the websites llresearch.org and bringforth.org. That's bring the number 4, th.org. Please feel free to ask us questions. You can post some questions to the thread at the Bring Forth Forum. You'll find it. It's Discussion in the Now with Carla. And you can always call in live. We love having live callers. So we will see you next week. Y'all have a great week.